Bob Jones Sr. say, "No one ever does anything great until he is consumed with an idea. No one ever does anything great until he is consumed with an idea." Now, the key word to that statement is the word consumed. Literally, overcome and consumed with an idea. One great man put it this way: "No one ever does anything worthwhile until he loses himself in a cause. No one ever does anything worthwhile until he loses himself in a cause." This kind of losing of self is what makes greatness. It matters not whether it be in the religious realm, the realm of athletics, the realm of politics, the realm of royalty, the realm of battle. It matters not. The secret to greatness in any area or any realm is losing oneself, forgetting oneself, and losing self in a cause. That's what makes the Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, the young prince of Macedon, was successful because, as he said, he was absorbed with the desire for conquest. It is said that he was never happy off the battlefield. He lived to fight. Peace made him miserable. It is said that Alexander the Great could walk across a battlefield and make a hero of the commonest soldier in the ranks. Why? He was consumed with an idea. And that's why at the tender age of 29, he had conquered the then known world and made the famous statement, "I have no more worlds to conquer." Consumed with an idea. Overcome and lost in a cause. That's what makes the Wesleys, the Whitfields, the Calvins, the Luthers. Their whole being runs into one riverbed of zeal. All of their being, their heart, their mind, their body, their soul, their energy, everything is wrapped up into one great consuming cause, and their entire water goes into one riverbed and flows for one purpose, and that is the fulfillment of their cause and the idea that they embrace. Dwight Moody one time heard a man preach, and the man made this statement. He said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with one man wholly and totally surrendered to the will of God." Young Moody at that time, not yet preaching, young Moody said, when he heard that man say, "The world has yet to see what one man can do wholly and totally surrendered to the will of God," Mr. Moody said, "By the grace of God, I will be that man." The wise man in Ecclesiastes said, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might." Give it all you've got. That's what it amounts to. When one man, I don't care who you are, when one man or one woman is consumed with an idea and lost in a cause, greatness is inevitable. Florence Nightingale said in the latter years of her life, she said, "I have never refused God anything. I have never refused God anything." I don't care what you're doing, whether you're a football coach, basketball coach, school teacher, preacher, doctor, lawyer, carpenter, businessman, contractor, whatever you are, you'll never know greatness in your field because you lose yourself. I mean, lose yourself in a cause and be consumed with an idea. The Al Capones are consumed by money. The Napoleons and Caesars are consumed by power. The Romneys and Lombardis are consumed by victory. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. What kept Newt Romney going? What kept Vince Lombardi going? The consuming desire for victory. I once talked to the coach of the Washington Redskins. What's his name? George Allen. I asked you who wrote the book of Deuteronomy. You wouldn't know. But I'm glad you know your football. But I once talked to George Allen on an airplane. And George Allen said to me, he said, there is one thing in my life above everything else. I want to win. I want to win. He said that scoreboard up there at the end of the field, if that thing has more points on our side than on the other team's side at the end of the game, that is what I live to accomplish. Paul said, I live because of the love of Christ. He did not say victory constrains me. He did not say power constrains me. He did not say money constrains me. He said, the love of Christ constraineth me. That's the whole thing. That's all of it. Now, whenever somebody gets that way, he immediately becomes the object of criticism. He's crazy. They said of Paul, they said, thou art beside thyself. They said of Paul, much learning. Girls in the front row, sit up. Now, you've been misbehaved long enough this morning. He said, Paul said to Festus, I'm not beside myself, but I speak to you with reason and with knowledge. But they say, you're a fool. By the way, that's why the John Woodens are criticized with the press. Bunch of fellows that couldn't coach a basketball team to get out of the locker room decide they can tell John Wooden how he does it. That's one of the things wrong with our nation nowadays. A bunch of long-haired beatnik hippies that can't run a hot dog stand think they can run Washington, D.C. And they might do a better job than those that have it. I'm not sure. But I'm saying that when one gets this way, I don't care what it is, when an athlete gets this way, or a coach gets this way, or a preacher gets this way, immediately he becomes the object of criticism. He's crazy. He's a fanatic. He's lost his mind. Of course, these who criticize are those who waste their lives in whims and fancies, pleasures and leisures, and they so flit through life that they leave no more mark on their age than a bird does with his footprints as he flies through the air. They live and they die and they leave nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to live that way. When I leave my generation, when I preach my last sermon and lay my Bible down for the last time and walk out of this pulpit for the last time, I want to leave something here more than a few picnics and a few bowling games and a few golf tournaments and a few leisure times and a few days off and a few vacations and a few trips to the Rocky Mountains. I want, when I leave my generation, I want it to be instead of me like it was said of the man of God of old. He served his own generation by the will of God. Good night. Do something that leaves a footprint when you're gone. How do you do it? You consume yourself. Consume yourself. Now, what did Paul really do? He said, the love of Christ constraineth me. What did he mean? There are several things. The word constrain here means compresseth. The love of Christ compresseth me. Now, here's what it likens to. Let's take a rain. We had a big rain this week. Let's take a rain, and that rain comes and settles on the meadow, and is spread over a meadow and stands in shallow pools. Men come and they dam up that rain. It becomes a stream. It is channeled in one direction. See it laughingly gather its strength and quicken its pace until that those pools, once in a meadow, now channeled by a dam into a stream, becomes a river. And that which was no good whatsoever turns the wheel of the mill and makes the sheep wash. It becomes a river and bears boats and little ships and flows finally into the mighty ocean. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. He said, 'Tis the love of God that causes all of the pools of my life, all the energies of my life, all the interest of my life to be dammed up, to form a stream, to form a river, to do something. That's the thing. Now, the love of Christ compasseth us. What does it mean? It means that finally there are no geniuses at all. Just compressed people. People often say, he's a genius. No, he's not. He's a compressed person. He doesn't use his energies to play a great deal. He doesn't run around and flit and leisure a lot. Listen, as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, the great secret to success is still W-O-R-K work. That's all it is. The difference in the John Rices and the Johnny Nobodies is work. The difference in the Thomas Edisons and the high school science teachers who believe that man came from a monkey, and they're the biggest proof of it I know, is work. 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 If you want to be a success in any field, you compress yourself the love of Christ. Why? Why, Brother Hiles? People ask me this all the time. They say, why do you go and go and go? The love of Christ constraineth me. Why do you get up so early and stay up so late? The love of Christ constraineth me. You know, I was thinking, driving out to the my car is being used with somebody else for about a week or so, and so I've been chauffeured around with the rescue mission van all week, and what's the fellow's name who drives the mission van? Mike, yeah, Mike, fine fella. Mike's been coming out of the house to get me in the morning. He drives me to work and then drives me home, and I'm chauffeured all the time. Now, not a very handsome chauffeur, and certainly no Cadillac car. It's the mission van where other cattle have ridden also, but I've enjoyed Mike, and we talk a great deal, and so we've been talking, and he says, you have long days, don't you? You have long days, don't you? Yes, I do. Yes, I have long days. Why go all the time? Because the love of Christ constraineth me. Why? He asked of the night. He said something about a street in Munster. And I said, where is that? A house, he said, on a certain street. I said, where is that? And I got home and I got thinking. I don't know the streets too well in my own town. I know the airports in this country better than I know the streets in the town where I live. Why, there's not an airport of any size in the world where I haven't stolen something. Or stolen into. And I know them. Why? Why go? Why press? Why keep going? Why? I'll tell you why. The love of Christ constraineth me. It impresseth me. It compresseth me. It channels me. Listen, I believe if you're going to do something, you ought to do it right. I've often said if I was a mad dog, I'd bite everybody I came in contact with. If I was a pool cat, I'd be the biggest stinker in town. A lot of folks think I am now. But if I was a wasp, I'd sting everybody. Why? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. That's why. People say, why do you beat the pulpit? Because I want to do it with all my might. That's why. I've got some little warts here on my fingers where I beat the pulpit all across America. And you can tell where I've been. Anywhere you look at the pulpit, right over here on the right side, you'll find a bunch of ring marks over there. That's not because I like to beat the pulpit. It's because, good night, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it. I'm so sick and tired of good losers. I don't know what to do. Good losers, good losers, good losers. I'll tell you, I wanted to go to Vietnam in the last few weeks myself. And just win that crazy war. You say, you think you can do it? I don't know about it. Right? I did one thing. I'm dead sure beat what we've done so far. I mean, the very thought that I belong to a nation that is lost for war. Grinds me. Stirs me. Angers me. What am I saying? I'm saying that we who are objects of the greatest love the world has ever known, we who have been recipients of God's marvelous love, ought to hear the Apostle Paul who said, the love of Christ constraineth me. It compresseth me. It channels me. It keeps me going. It gets me up. It keeps me up. It makes me go when I'm up. The love of Christ constraineth me. Second thing that word means, when Paul said the love of Christ constraineth me, it means the love of Christ restraineth me. In fact, there are some authors who translate that word restrains instead of constrains. The love of Christ restrains me. What does it mean? It means the love of Christ not only compresses me and keeps me compressed. Bob, you better turn some air on. If you would, please. We got the stupidest, dumbest. You know what I want to do? I'm going to go in the air conditioning business. There is not an air conditioner in Hammond who's worth calling, except me. Absolutely. That's one. You know, if I were an air conditioning company and I had a building that I was working on that was not operating correctly, I'd work day and night till I got the thing working right. What? It's this very thing. How can anybody be out fishing or playing golf when a job they've done has not been done well? I'm sick and tired of this. You kids that don't even keep your rooms clean. What kind of heathen paganism is that? You fellows on the job that loaf on the job and hide from the boss and loaf when the boss is not there. There ought to be a certain kind of a compulsion in every one of us that makes him put everything he has to whatever he sets his hand to do. The love of Christ constraineth. Why, Paul, you go day and night. The love of Christ constraineth me. Why, Paul, do you weep day and night and warn the people with tears night and day? The love of Christ constraineth me. Why is it, Paul, that you never have much time to rest? You're always on the go. The love of Christ constraineth me. Why is it, Paul, you're preaching all the time? The love of Christ constraineth me. Why is it you're a nut and a fool? The love of Christ constraineth me. Why is it you go to jail for the gospel? The love of Christ constraineth me. He said, all that I do, all that I am, is compelled for the amazing love of Christ in my soul. God's love compresseth me, but it restraineth me. People often ask me, why don't you do certain things? I'll tell you why. God's love constrains me. It restrains me. For example, I like sports. I love sports. I adore sports. I am rejoicing in the Lord because the Cubs have won 7 games in a row. I fully didn't expect them to win 7 games all year. 7 games in a row. I love sports. I can see 2 doodlebugs crawling in a race, and I'll stop and pull for one. I can see 2 kids in a fight, and I'll stop and pull for one. You say, why don't you stop the fight? Because I enjoy a good fight. That's why I don't stop the fight. But I love sports. I love any kind of sports. I love them. I love softball. I used to pitch semi-professional softball. I love it. Haven't pitched a softball game since 1900 and, oh, good night, maybe 1800 and something. I don't know what it was, but 1947, I guess, the last softball game that I pitched. I love to go to games. I'd love it. A fellow gave me a ticket. Remember, this church gave me a ticket to the opening day of Cubs at Wrigley Field. Of course, I didn't go. I was too busy. But I'd love to go. I'm pulling for the Chicago Bulls to beat the Kansas City Omaha Kings. And I'm pulling for the Chicago Blackhawks to beat the, who are they playing now? Buffalo Sabres, and I'm pulling for the Chicago White Sox, hoping they'll win a game someday. And I love sports. And sometimes I go to a certain city, and I'll see a the lights on of a big professional, big league ball field. And I don't know, I could, and boy, something inside is, man, I'd like to go. Man, I'd like to go. But it's been years since I've been to a game. It'd be, I guess it'd be years again. Why don't I go? Hey, why? There's something that's consuming me. My nation's going to hell. And I've got to go. I've got to keep going. I've got to reach preachers. I must keep on going. Why? I'm consumed with a cause. That's why. You will never do anything. You get consumed with it. If you're a teacher in Hammond Baptist High School, be consumed. Make it the best thing of your life. If you're a teacher in Hammond Baptist Grade School, be consumed. Overcome. If you're on the staff of First Baptist Church, or if you have a Sunday school class or department, consume yourself. Lose yourself in it. Why? Because of the love of Christ. The love of Christ constraineth me. I love to be with people. I enjoy people very much. I'm a sociable creature. But I'm not with folks much. I don't go to parties. I'm not against parties, but I don't have time to go to parties. They asked me at the college this year, a senior class asked me if I'd pitch a softball game against, I don't know, against the faculty or against the students or something. They want to raise some money. And I say this as humbly as I know how. I'd strike out every one of them. You say, well, how's you exaggerating? No, I'm not. I'm not exaggerating. I'm lying. But I am, I'm a sociable creature. And I sometimes envy people who get to do things that I'd enjoy doing. Why don't you do it? Because the love of Christ constraineth me. And it restraineth me. It keeps me channeled into doing that one thing for which God has called me. And then it restrains me from doing things that would keep me from concentrating my attention on the thing He's called me to do. There's something else it means. The love of Christ constraineth me. It means the love of Christ compresseth me. The love of Christ restraineth me. It also means in the Greek, the love of Christ containeth me. Containeth me. The word contain there means it keeps me, it keeps the body of Christ contained. Paul is saying, I'll not enter into arguments with other Christians because the love of Christ contains us together. It means bundles us up. People often say, Brother Hiles, you're criticized, aren't you? And yeah, I say, yes, I am. And they say, I wish I were like you. I wish it didn't matter to me when folks criticize me. It does matter to me. When folks criticize me, it pierces my heart like a sword, just like it would yours. And when folks say to me, folks delight to say to me, you know, that I love you in spite of the fact that nobody else loves you in the whole world, you know. They love to come to my office and say, yeah, preacher, I want you to know I'm with you, boy. I'm not like old so-and-so who said, and blah, 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 blah. And they think it just falls off my back like water off a duck's back. No, it doesn't either. No, I never hear a word of criticism, but what it doesn't pierce like a sword. But I'm not going to fight back. Why? Because the love of Christ containeth me. It makes me want to love everybody. It makes me want to unite the body of Christ. Why, preacher? Why? Why? Why don't you fight back? Let them have it. You say, don't you see sometimes you could hit somebody in the nose because they criticize you? Never. I'd far prefer to take a machine gun and just mow the whole bunch of them down. Why don't you do it? I don't know, I may. I tell you why I don't do it. The love of Christ. The love of Christ. Nobody's ever heard me speak an unkind word from this pulpit toward any preacher or church or school that believes the Bible. And you never will either. Nobody's ever heard me retaliate toward those that hate my insides and fight me and gossip and criticize me. And you never will either if I stay sane. Why? The love of Christ containeth me. Let's see. Over in London, England, I lost my temper. I lost it the other day too. Where was I? Oh, over in London, England, I was. We were there on a we had a trip to the Holy Land, and they'd promised us first class hotel accommodations on every stop. We got to London. I had 64 of our people in the group. and that promised us first-class accommodations, they gave us rooms without even private baths. You should have seen those rooms. They looked like you folks grew up who came from Kentucky. I mean, absolutely. And so I said to the fellow, look, these folks were promised first-class rooms. And he said, well, this is all we have. I said, well, listen, we paid for first-class rooms with private baths and first-class all the way. Well, he said, this is all we have. I said, but you promised us. And he said to me, that's the trouble with you Americans. And when he said that, I wanted cups full of his blood. And those who are on the trip will never forget this. Man, I just felt led to give him a holy punch right in his holy kisser. And Dr. Jack Hiles took off after him. But some of the fellows grabbed me, and they contained me. And that's what this means. What keeps me from punching my enemies in the nose? The love of Christ containeth me. What keeps me from saying, I'll get you? The love of Christ containeth me. The other day, we had seven famous preachers from all over the world. And they came here, and we had rooms reserved over the Holiday Inn on the north side of Hammond. And we reserved them weeks in advance. They even sent a lady down to our office and told us the room numbers. And we had them for one night. Dr. John Rice, Dr. William Ward Eyre, and all these famous men. And so what happened? They got there and they called, and the men said they have no rooms for us. So they were only going to stay one night, but some people came that were going to stay a whole week. And so they gave those people the rooms. And said, we're going to change these folks to the East Gary Holiday Inn. East Gary. That's halfway to Toronto. And said, right up here. And so I called a fella, and I said, you can't do this. He said, I just did. But I said, you can't. I said, these are famous men. We're giving them the red carpet treatment. We're customers. We've been here for years. And Miss McKinney will tell you, I'm telling you, you say, what contained you? He was a big fella. But I said, listen, if you don't give those men rooms we've had reserved for all these months, I'll tell my church about it. Of course, I don't plan to do it. And I want to see blood. Now, everybody in this room who's a man has had to be contained at one time or another. Everybody. If you haven't, you're not much man. Somebody cursed your mother. Or somebody slandered your wife or your daughter. Or someone cursed your church, your pastor. We have a man in our church, works out of steel mill. And the fella started cursing me on the job. And this fella grabbed the hammer. He said, I can't hit you here on the job. But he said, if I ever see you, off the premises of this steel mill, I'm wrapping this hammer around your neck for cursing my preacher. And I've been praying for him all this time to see each other sometime out in public somewhere. And now what contained him? What held him back? His job. What held me back? In London, those fellows who are with me, what held me back from the fellow who runs the Holiday Inn north side of Hammond? His size. Now, Paul said, the love of Christ containeth me. 'Tis his love. What keeps me going day and night, said Paul? The love of Christ. Why do I not enjoy the pleasures of Christ? Why do I get up early and go day and night? Said Paul, the Christ containeth me. The love of Christ restraineth me. There's one other meaning of the word. It says the love of Christ. It means presseth me. The love of Christ oppresseth me. I have a passion. Several years ago, I realized for some strange reason God had given me the ear of young preachers in America. I preached last year to over 32,000 preachers across this country. And I feel the answer is preachers.
Amen.
Great need is men of God behind the pulpit who are fearless and who will work and build great churches and call people back to righteousness and decency and morality and who get angered and stirred when they realize what's going on in our country.
That's right.
But so I decided on my knees in my basement one night what I was going to do. I decided three things. I was going to pastor the First Baptist Church of Hamlet as long as you'll let me. Number two, I was going to try to reach preachers and travel across this country and reach preachers. And number three, I was going to write so I could leave what little I've learned for others who follow. And now for 8 years, I've taken all these things and I've channeled them into one river. What is it? Trying to do my best to save my nation. I know I can't save it by myself, but I do have a hearing of preachers. And everywhere I preach, for some reason, preachers come to hear me preach. I'll be tomorrow night in Los Angeles, California, God willing. And there'll be preachers. Probably, usually when I go out there, there'll be 80 to 100 preachers in the audience. And I'll be trying to stir those preachers. Why? Because my nation's going to hell. That's why. Because it looks like the old ship's about to go under. And so if I can do my part, the love of Christ constraineth me to keep going, and keep going, and keep going. And that's why we ought to do our jobs. Everything we do, we ought to give it all we have. For the apostle, we can say, the love of Christ. The love of Christ that caused him to love me before I was ever born. The love of Christ that caused him to think upon me before I ever came into the world. The love of Christ that caused him to think about me before the foundation of the world was ever laid. The love of Christ that caused him to leave heaven and come to earth and say goodbye to the Father. The love of Christ that caused him to live 33 homesick years away from heaven. The love of Christ that caused him to have no place to lay his head. The love of Christ that caused him to be willing to be rejected and despised and forsaken and hated. That love of Christ that caused him to go to Calvary. The love that caused the nails and the spikes in his hands and feet, and the crown of thorns on his head, and the spittle in his face, and the spear in his side, and the howling of the angry mob, and the hatred of a wicked world. The love of Christ. Just go on, and on, and on, and on, and on. People often say to me, Brother Hiles, where are we going to go from here? Forward. Forward. 30,000 in Sunday school? Where are you going from there? Well, I think 31 comes after 30, doesn't it? If I remember correctly. Well, when you get 35,000, where can you go from there? The 40s come after the 30s? I'm going to find out in a couple of years. The 50s come after the 40s, too. But, sure, the 40s come after the 30s. You mean, Brother Howell? When you're going to slow down, I don't plan to slow down, but I look in the face of him who's at the end of the line. That's all. Why? The love of Christ. I'll tell you why your Sunday school class doesn't grow. You don't love God enough. I'll tell you why you don't come to choir practice regularly. If you have the night off, you don't love God enough. I'll tell you why you quit your bus route. You don't love God enough. I'll tell you why you loaf at school and make a bad name for yourself at school. You don't love God enough. I'll tell you why you never go soul winning. You don't love God enough. I'll tell you why you don't build a great Sunday school class. You don't love God enough. I'll tell you why you don't come back to church on Sunday night. You don't love God enough. I'll tell you why you don't come back to church on Wednesday night. You don't love God enough. I'll tell you why you watch the dirty afternoon. You ladies watch these dirty soap operas in the afternoon about these little sorry, trying, or lustful affairs. You don't love God enough. I don't know why you stay up and watch a midnight movie and watch a bunch of heathen pagans act like animals. You don't love God enough. I don't know why you have the dirty magazines in your home. You don't love God enough. I don't know why you hear the rock music. You don't love God enough.
I don't want you half in and half out. You don't know God enough.
What you ought to do is get on your face and say, oh, thou the God who loved me, that love constrains me to give everything I have to him. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Yet ere such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all, and I plan to give it to him. People say, preacher, you're wearing yourself out. Yeah, I know, the love of Christ constraineth me. People say, you're burning the candle at both ends. Yes, I know that, the love of Christ constraineth me. But I want you to be able to say, when maybe sometime while I'm preaching, and I hope that's when it'll happen, hope it'll be a while longer, and I'll grab my chest, and the men will gather around me, and maybe they'll feel my pulse, and Dr. Streeter will come from the audience quickly, or Dr. Gergos will come from the audience quickly, and they'll feel my pulse, and maybe check my heart, and I'll turn blue, and somebody says he's gone. I hope I've worn myself out instead of rusted out. You just say, the love of Christ constrained him. Oh, listen to me. If there ever was a day when Jesus needs our all, it's today. I get so weary. I get so weary of half-time Christian people. I mean, call even sometimes preachers and so-called full-time Christian workers. We loaf too much. We play too much. We mess around too much. We leisure too much. The world's going to hell. We've got to get busy and do it for God while there's yet time. And I'm going to see him. And I want him to be able to say, my love constrained you. You stayed in the battle. You gave it all you had. I learned years ago that I was not a great preacher, and that I was not a great, didn't have a great mind. But I learned also that the spoil doesn't come to the brilliant or the orator. The spoil comes to the fellow who works and prays and gives it all he has. All he has. I was thinking of the day for the Fisk. I was talking to Dave Hiles, and Dave said, Dad, I like Boston, Massachusetts. And I said, why do you like it, Dave? He said, there's so much to see. It dawned on me, Brother Wardway. I've been to Boston time and time again. Brother Wardway, where is he? There you are. Listen, when I look somewhere and you're not there, you get there. I got thinking. I've been to Boston time and time again. I've never seen Boston. All I've ever seen is the airport and a few expressways. I'm going to Los Angeles, this one church, for my 12th consecutive year. I've never seen Hollywood. I've never seen the Los Angeles Coliseum. I've never seen Disneyland. I stayed across the street in Knott's Berry Farm one time, didn't even go inside of it. I've never seen Los Angeles. I have been to Arizona time and time and time again. I've never seen Grand Canyon. I've never seen it. I've flown over it, saw a hole in the ground. I've never seen Grand Canyon. I've been to New York City. I know very little about it. I've been to Miami, Florida time and time again. I've never seen Miami Beach. I've never seen the bowl there, Orange Bowl. I've been to Los Angeles, California, time and time again. I've never seen the Rose Bowl. I've never seen America. Well, why don't you take time? Preachers say to me, you want to take the afternoon? I was up in Alaska. The fellow said, you want to take the afternoon off and fly up and see what's the great mountain in Alaska? Mount McKinley. Want to see Mount McKinley? And he said, just take about 3 or 4 hours this afternoon. I said, no. He said, why? I said, I've got to work. Why? The love of Christ constraineth me. the love of Christ constraineth me. I'm not saying it's wrong to see Mount McKinley. I'm not saying it's wrong to see the hole out there I mentioned, Grand Canyon. I've seen the Grand Canyon. I've seen Brother Boardway with his mouth open singing a solo here before. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that there comes along occasionally a fellow like the Apostle Paul. I'm not like Paul was. I'm sorry. I wish I were. But occasionally there comes a little fellow along who goes to Rome and never sees the Colosseum, who goes to Athens and doesn't say a word about the Parthenon, who goes to Corinth and sits there beneath that great mountain. Everyone sees the mountain. He's too busy looking at sinners and looking at sin and staying busy for God. I challenge you today to realize the love of Christ. Let it constrain you to give everything you have to God. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence, they live. You live in the house. You've been to Southern California? Have you ever seen the Rose Bowl? No, I haven't. But I've seen a lot of sinners saved out there, and that sure was pretty. You say, oh, how? You've been to Arizona and never have seen the Grand Canyon? No, I never have. But, oh, bless God, I've seen preachers get on fire for God out there, and that sure was pretty scenery. The love of Christ constraineth me. Let us pray.